So we need to get on the ball here, church. Preached on that some last week. Going to follow up again this week. Turn to Exodus chapter 35. To get anything done, first of all, as part of the body of Christ, you need to be willing to do what the Spirit leads you to do or instructs you to do. A big part, 90% of God's will, you'll find in reading this book. Now, God's will for everyone, I heard Jeremiah Gabbert preach on this, he's right on. The will of God for everyone is basically the same, but His plan is individual. What can you do? What can I do? What would God use you for that He wouldn't use me for? What would He use you for that I couldn't do? God didn't give me the gifts to do. Exodus 35. Here Moses had gathered all the children of Israel together. I'm going to start down around verse 4. And he said, now here are the words that God commanded. And he starts telling them what they needed to do. Told them, gave them the ceremonial Sabbath, you know, and part of that was you 6 days shalt thou work. You ever think of that? You ever study about that? The fellow said, well, I honor the Sabbath. Old buddy Mark Cameron asked a fellow one time, said, well, I honor the Sabbath day. He said, do you work 6 days? He said, well, no. He says, 6 days. We're a mess. All right, so Moses down here about verse 4 in Exodus 35 says this. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Got to be willing. Whatever you do for God, you got to be willing to do it, or you won't do it. Let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. Now listen, the Lord's church can do nothing, no matter what it is, until you become willing to do it. I found that out about my wife years ago, Brother Phil. She's got to be willing to do it. She found that out about her husband around the same time. All right. But you got to be willing to serve God. You've got to be willing to give to the work of God. You have to be willing to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to go into great detail. I don't know how many people, but my mom pointed to Jesus Christ at a bluegrass festival, just telling them how good God had been to her. Always lifting up the name of the Lord and her Savior, Jesus Christ, and explaining how God just made things work for her. You've got to be willing to witness. You've got to be willing to pray. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You've got to be willing to do those things. If you've got the gift to sing, you should be willing to sing. I shouldn't have to twist anybody's arm or goad them into singing for the Lord if God gave them a gift to do that. Offer your talents. You've got to be willing to do that. You should be willing to spend time in the Word of God. Yeah, look out. The Bible says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Are you able to read? Not everybody is. I've got relatives. They couldn't read a thing. Our cousin Tony, he couldn't read a lick. That's a hillbilly word. Couldn't read a lick. Like he don't have a lick of sense. I've said that about a lot of people. Obviously no one in this church, but. But you've got to be willing to do those things. Willing to do. Many times if I went to a new church, I found something that no one else was doing. And if I had the ability to do that thing, I would do it. I'd try to fill a gap that no one else was filling. All right. I'm going to be in verse 20 here. Now, for a moment, what would it be if no one in the church was willing to do the work of God, where would we be? Now, a lot of you folks, as I have over the years, have been involved in a lot of civic or fraternal organizations. Maybe the American Legion, the Qantas, some organizations you've been part of, fraternal order, I was part of that. Hey, I've found, and I'm sure you have too, and just about all of those organizations, there are just a handful of people that do the work. What's that all about? Well, it's the same thing in the church. And I'm not talking about coming over here and painting the walls and that part. I'm talking about the work of the cause of Christ, getting out and witnessing the gospel to folks. Tell them about Jesus Christ. My. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came every one, watch it, whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation for his service and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now let's correlate that to the work of Christ. When's the last time your heart stirred you to do something for God? Your heart's got to do it. You've got to want to do it from the heart. You have to want to please God in something that you're doing. And it says, and they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. If you don't have a heart that is stirred up for God, if you don't have the willingness to do anything for God, you just become part of the frozen chosen, as the gospel group used to call a lot of our dead brethren. Better hush. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine linen, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Sister said, well, preacher, I don't have any goat hair. Hey, if you had 7 goats and 3 Holstein heifers, you still wouldn't do anything. Let me move on. But they did things for God because their hearts were stirred up. That is, if your heart is stirred up, if it has stirred a willingness to do something, then now's the time. If not now, when? If not here, where? I used that a few weeks ago. The children of Israel, it says in verse 29, brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all the manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now the Lord here commanded them to do something, but it got done because the folks were willing to do it. They were willing to do what God had commanded them to do. While the Lord told the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher, teaching to observe whatsoever I have commanded thee, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Exodus 36, verse 1. Then wrought a Bezalel and a Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. Now, working around the building, I'm not very wise-hearted about that kind of stuff. Most of you know that. I spent I think 4 years. Do you have shop class as a freshman? I spent 3 or 4 years in shop class at Milan High School. My shop teacher was Larry Ralston. And in all those 4 years, what I managed to accomplish in 4 years of shop class, I made a pair of horse head bookends. That's it. That's it. You know, I went down and saw, and I took them to my mom and said, "Wow, those look like puppies." I wasn't very wise-hearted, but I liked shop class because it was an easy class to get a grade in. Now, I know nobody here took any classes like that. Let me move on. But if it says, you all know that if it says assembly required, I don't buy it. I just don't. All right. But other things I became smart about. Some things, if my heart was in it, and I had a zeal for it, I'd try to get smart about it. I wasn't a good baseball player. I was too busy trying to learn a G run on a guitar. Doom, doo, doo, doo. Pretty good at football. All conference, defensive end, for EIAC. That's just because I was fat. Could push those guys around, country boy. All right, I wasn't that fat in high school. I don't know, I wasn't that fat. Yeah, kind of like you, yeah. Oh, my. But other things, I became smart. How about you? I'm willing to bet there's something that you are smart about, that God gave you some wisdom about, that you could give to the cause of Christ. Each one of us. Different things that you're able to do that I'm not able to do. I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it's vanity or I don't know what causes this. But you ever see sometimes in a church, somebody will be terrible at something like me at building stuff, and all they'll want to do is work on the building. Oh, let me do that. And it'll take 3 or 4 following behind them to fix what they thought they were good at and wasn't good at. The folks that God has put in to play these instruments and sing. Some folks try to sing, shouldn't be singing. I'll just say that once. I remember one time, I won't tell the church because it's close by. But I was in church, and we had a big dinner after church, and a lady had fixed a great big kettle of chicken and dumplings. And man, I love chicken and dumplings. No kidding. Yeah. And I got me out a big plate of those chicken and dumplings. They looked so delicious, and I bit down on one of those dumplings. Brother Phil's like a pure dough ball. Didn't have a dab of nothing in it. I couldn't eat it. It was just like eating wallpaper paste and dough. What do you do? I've seen churches split over one woman putting her green beans in a bowl of another woman. I mean, what do you do in those situations? And there's a lady with me. I won't mention her name. She's with the Lord now. But she got her out her big plate of I saw her right behind me. Got her out. Man, do those good look good. Got her a big plate of those dumplings. And she took a bite of it. And she looked around. I was watching her all the time. And she said, "I think I'll take these home to my husband." Went over and put them. Oh, my. What I'm saying, if you're good at something, do it. If you're not good at it, let the one who is good at it do it. Does that sound right? Oh, that'll work? All right. Has God given you wisdom about something? He's given you understanding about some things. Do you know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary? Well, how about the cause of Christ? We're not in a sanctuary now. That was Old Testament Jews. They served the sanctuary. We serve another building, and that building is the body of Christ. That's what we serve, the body of Christ, serving the cause of Christ to the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things that need to be done, just like they were in the sanctuary. Hey, a lot of Christians, the only thing lacking in many today, lacking to go do the work, is God needs to stir your heart up for it. You got to have a heart for it. You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, when we all get judged as servants, it's not for sin. Christ already judged your sin, but you will get judged for your what service you did, what things that you did in the body. And it says of what the works will all be judged for what sort they were. What sort they are. You know what that means? Your motive. If you're doing something to look good for the folks, that's not going to get you rewarded. You're going to get rewarded for the motive behind what you did for Jesus Christ. My. I wish I was better at doing things than a lot of people can do a lot of. Brother Phil Gabbert, he can do anything. He can. He can fix anything. I can tear anything up. Brother Phil can fix about anything. I can't. I'm not good at it. I remember a story they told about a guy sitting at the bar one time down at the Milan King Hotel. Of course, I wouldn't. This all was hearsay for me, obviously. But a fellow came in and said he needed a barn tore down, and fell into the barn and said, "I'll tear it down for you." And when I tear them down, they stay down. It's kind of a rough crowd to work this morning. All right, let's move on. And Moses, verse 2 says, and Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. To do it. Not just to study about it or think about it. My mom had an uncle, Houston Gabbert. She called him Uncle Hughes. And they said that Uncle Hughes did all of his farming in the wintertime. What she meant that all winter long he talked about how much farming he was going to do. And that's as far as it got. That's as far as it got. A lot of Christians, "Oh, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to do that for the Lord." And that's as far as it gets sometimes. You do all your witness. Let me move on. Verse 3, and they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel have brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men wrought all the work of the sanctuary, every man from his work that they made, and spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. So we find then from Scripture that if our hearts are stirred up, if they're stirred up for God, and they should be, and we become willing to do something about it, to do something for Him, we find that God is always a God of more than enough. He'll take care of business with you. You say, "Well, I don't have time to do that." Well, a fellow told me once that we all have the same amount of time. That's true. I've got the same amount of time that you do. Haggai 1:14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And see, that this is a theme, a consistent theme over and over again. When God stirred up the spirit and stirred up someone's heart, things begin to get done. here in our context, I mentioned they were called to work on the sanctuary, but we have a different building. We're working for the body of Christ. We're working for our own bodies. There's a bluegrass song. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. As Bill Monroe corrected me one night, we're traveling to Chattanooga, and I'm singing lead on that song as a bluegrass boy with Bill Monroe. We're going to the convention center in Chattanooga. And I said, I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. He said, that's not right. He said, it's building, building. I'm working on a building. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in. Any bluegrass lovers here? Any out in the parking lot? All right. But you and I are called to the service of a spiritual building, the church. And the church, we're to do the work of Christ. We're His witnesses here on earth. The body of Christ, Acts 17:6. Now how Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him when he saw the city given wholly to idolatry. You know, when Paul saw the sin and the craziness around him, the Bible says that it stirred his spirit up. He wanted to do something about it. How about you? I've never seen America this crazy. Never seen the sin and the darkness of America today and the craziness and the division. Hey, ample opportunity to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for you, folks. An opportunity. Paul saw it as an open door. We should do the same thing. Our cause in this wicked, lost world is still the cause of Christ. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 8:11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, there it is, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. It means it's time to go to work, time to do something. And notice it said what you have. God, He don't want you to give what you don't have. Now watch it, verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. God's not asking you to give anything to Him that you don't have, that you can't give. He said, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. See what I read? Now therefore perform the doing of it. In high school, I was in FFA. And I was one of the officers in FFA, and I'd call the roll of the officers. And when it came to the president, each one had a little symbol before them. And I'd call, Mr. President. He'd say, here by the plow. I'd say, why by the plow? He said, the plow is a symbol of labor and tillage of the soil. And without labor, neither knowledge nor wisdom accomplishes much. You can be super spiritual here today. You can know more scripture than 7 preachers. And if you just sit at the house, what good's that doing? There's no performance. You're not using it to the glory of God. He gave you that knowledge for a purpose. He gave you that wisdom for a purpose. He gave you that talent for a purpose. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He said, it is accepted according that a man hath. He will accept what you've got to give, folks, if you're just willing to give it, not what you don't have. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I've heard over the years, the best ability is availability. Are you available for God today? God just wants you to do what you're able to do. You're able to sing, God can use you. You're able to play an instrument, God can use you. Able to drive a church van? I mentioned earlier, you're able to read, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Get smart about the Word of God so you can tell others. Able to cook for someone who can't do it for themselves? God can use you. And your preacher does like good chicken and dumplings. Oh, well. You're able to give to someone in need. God can use you. You can fill someone's need. You're able to sweep the sidewalks. God can use you. You're able to water the flowers. God can use you. Able to pray for someone. God can sure use someone that's able to pray. For there must, verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Then it says, for I mean not that other men be eased. Now, if someone's doing something for God, then we should find something else to be doing for him. Or help them. I know people that they can't physically get out and do what they want to do, and they'll support financially the work of the church so others can do it. That's important too. I don't preach on money much. I never did much like those money preachers. Send me money. Hey, TV preachers, radio preachers, about every four words. Send me money. Send me money. I'm not into that. You could if you wanted to, but I'm not into that. I've got enough money to last me for the rest of my life if I die before breakfast. Okay, all right. Nehemiah 4:6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. What's it take to stir you up this morning? Do lost souls stir your heart to get involved in the work? Do our children stir us up? Their future, the possibility that your children may leave this world lost and undone without God and without hope in this world. Does that stir your heart up to be a witness? How about a marriage that's gone south? Does that stir you up a little bit to come to God and seek God's counsel? Wayward child, broken life, broken hearts, broken spirits. We have a tragedy, and then we start making deals with God. Man, I've been by their bedside in the hospital, said, Brother Tom, if God gets me through this, I promise God that I'm going to be in church every Sunday. I'm going to do this, blip, blip. Yeah, no. No, he wasn't. He didn't do it. That's why the Bible said, be careful what you promise. I say, God, I purpose in my heart to do this or that. Because if I promised, I'd surely break the promise. I say, Lord, I purpose in my heart according to your grace to be able to do that. Just thought I'd throw that in. All right, I'm about done here. Making deal with God. Remember the story of Achan? He had taken the unclean thing when they marched into Jericho. And then Joshua marched up to the little city of Ai. And man, they whipped him like dogs after he'd been taken one city after another. Achan had taken the thing he was commanded not to take. And God was punishing the whole camp because of his sin. And David didn't know what to do. That he'd been defeated. Came back, he fell on his face. Or David, not David. Joshua fell on his face before God. Just fell on his face. He was defeated. Joshua 7:10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Maybe it's time for some of you to get up. I'm done here, Brother Phil. Maybe it's time to get up and do the performance of it, the doing of it. Maybe you need to pray about God stirring up your heart. A willingness. Maybe you need God to pray for that willingness to get involved in the work. Say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what Jesus Christ is about. He's about giving and reaching out and doing those things that will open the door to the gospel message. Sometimes filling a physical need will open the door to a spiritual need. There's something that you can do for the cause of Christ this morning. I'm done. If everyone would stand up. You're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, it'd be a good time to do that. God loves you. We've got the greatest opportunity that I know for the gospel witness. It's a dark world. You're the light of the world. God says you don't take a candle and hide it under a bushel. Let's come out from under that bushel today, folks, and start shining the light of the gospel. The good news of the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ, the blessed hope. The altar's open this morning. You've never been saved. It'd be a good day to get that out of the way and get it done. Brother Jeremiah.